Matthew chapter 7, I want to read beginning in verse 15. This is where you and I have come to in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I want to mainly limit my comments this evening to verse 15 and verse 16, where the Lord Jesus says here in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Be aware, one writer said. Be aware of false. Be cautious of false prophets. Take heed to false prophets. You know, everywhere in the Scriptures, you and I are warned of false teachers, false preachers, and false pastors. Listen to just a few of these places that I've jotted down. Take heed and beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and scribes. And the Apostle Paul, addressing the preachers as dogs and evil workers, says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Peter said there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. Beware therefore, he said, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we could probably fill page after page of Scripture that warns us to beware, to take heed, to take notice of false teachers and false preachers. Now, what seems to be the main characteristic of a false teacher, a false prophet, is deception. As we read about these fellows in the Scripture, it often refers to their deception. Listen to this. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Many false Christs shall arise and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect. Brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For such serve not the Lord Jesus, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and good deeds deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul said that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you. That's just a few of the warnings and the character of these men. What they accomplish by their preaching, by their teaching, is this. They deceive people. They deceive people. I had a friend one time who told me, he said he knew there were several, had to be several lost preachers, false prophets. And he said he thought that God was so merciful that he had forgiven those who were led astray. The false prophets would have to give account of themselves, and they no doubt would perish, but he said those who were led astray, God would be merciful to them. But you know what the Lord said? If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch, didn't they? The blind leading the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. So we have 12 prophets warned us every place. And the Lord warns us of them because they deceive us. They deceive us, even the elect, if it were possible. Why are we so often warned about these false prophets? Because it's not always easy to detect them. You can't always detect a false prophet. If I came here this evening, I think probably I'd be wasting my breath if I told you of the falseness of the Islam religion, or of Buddha, or even of some of the cults in our country as Jehovah Witness or Mormonism. You'd say, Bruce, I know that already. If you don't know it already, you would know it as soon as you hear them begin to teach. It's so obvious, isn't it? There's some false prophets that's so obvious, they're not going to deceive anyone who reads his Bible. But the Lord Jesus described these false prophets here in verse 15 this way. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now that's what makes it so deceptive. They're not so obvious. They appear to be Christians. Sheep's clothing. By the way they act, by what they do, sometimes in general what they say, even when they preach, they appear to be Christians. They appear in sheep's clothing. What you see of them in general would make you think this man may well be a believer. He may well be a Christian. And that's why they're so deceitful. They profess to know Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus Christ. They come into the pulpit just as I have this evening, and they open their Bibles. They talk about the blessed book, the blessed hope, and the blood. They profess Christianity. They appear to us in sheep's clothing. That's what makes it so deceptive. They're not what they appear to be. But what makes it so deceptive, they appear in sheep's clothing. What does the Lord Jesus mean here when he says sheep's clothing? Let me give you two or three things I think he means by this. It has other meanings, I'm sure. But not only do they appear to be Christians because they're in sheep's clothing. But what you see of them is so smooth. It's so delicate. It's so soft. Did you ever catch a sheep and run your hands through his wool? It's very soft and very delicate. And I think what the Lord could be telling us here, not only the sheep's clothing appears to be sheep, Christian, but these men are very soft. They're very delicate. Let me show you a scripture and relate what I'm talking about. Turn over here to your right, over in the book of Romans. I quoted the scripture to you just a minute ago, but look at it with me in Romans chapter 16, and look here in verse 17. Romans chapter 16, and look here in verse 17. Look here what I'm saying. They're very soft. Very delicate. Preacher, very easy. Look here how the Apostle Paul says it in verse 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Where did you learn this doctrine? He'd just been teaching us doctrine, hadn't he, in this epistle. And avoid them. Who are these people? Well, they're false prophets, obviously. But they cause offenses contrary to what you've learned in this epistle. Now, what have you and I learned? We have studied the book of Romans. I preached it to you. You've studied it in the privacy of your home. We know what this book teaches, don't we? As we begin this very book, we read in here that God is just, that He's holy, that He's righteous, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That God hath appointed a day in which He Himself will judge even the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. You know that's a doctrine that's offensive to the human nature. And that's a doctrine that these soft men, these delicate men, will not make plain. They will not make it clear because it upsets people. It afflicts people's conscience to tell them the wrath of God is revealed against them and their sins. And God has appointed a day in which He'll judge them. That's what we learn from this epistle. And we also learn the universal depravity and helplessness of humanity. That all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not only the universal depravity, I mean all over the world, wherever you find man, you find him hopelessly and helplessly dead in trespasses and sin, but all the faculties of his soul is corrupt. He's sinful. His understanding is darkened, blinded by the devil. He's enmity in his mind against God by evil works. His will is in bondage to the devil. He's universally depraved. And then we find out the only way that he got that way. It wasn't that he got 12 years old or 16 years old and became that way, but he became that way because way back young in the garden, Adam sinned. And that sin ran the entire human race. Every man, without exception, is born in sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon who? All men. All men. We're all sinners. We're all condemned. And then we find out in this epistle the only way of redemption. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That we've been redeemed by another's obedience. We must have the righteousness of someone else. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, but there's a righteousness that reaches the most ungodly, wickedest man in this world and clothes the shame of his nakedness. That's the righteousness of the Son of God. And then in chapter 9, we read of the discriminating grace of God. And I don't know of anything that's more offensive to a natural man, Larry, than the discriminating grace of God. I'll have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. I have chosen Jacob. I put his name in the book of life. I passed by Esau. I think that's all that means. Is that not fair? That cannot be fair for God to discriminate and elect one and pass by another. And human nature hears of these doctrines and it rises up against them, don't it? Well, here's what these soft prophets do. They have sheepskin and they're so soft and delicate. They will not and they cannot, even if they know them, make these truths plain. They're afraid to set them forth. They take the offense out of the cross. I think one of the ways that you'll know a false prophet is this. No matter what he says about Jesus Christ, are you? He yet labors to take the offense out of the cross. I was telling someone, the gentleman that preached the funeral here yesterday, he pastors a church out here not far from here. And one lady, if he's the same man, and I don't want to say he wasn't, but as far as I know, he's the same man. If I'd thought about it, I'd ask him. But one of the ladies that goes to church there, we'd been talking to her about election. And she asked him, said, "Do you believe election?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Why don't you ever preach it?" And he said, It disturbs people. There's a false prophet. He's soft. He's so soft. He doesn't have no grace in his heart to stand and be firm and preach the cross because it offends people. That's one of the meanings, I think, here of the Lord Jesus. So he says here, the apostle does, they cause divisions and offenses contrary to these doctrine, the doctrine that I've taught you in this epistle. Look at verse 18. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches. See that? I tell you, discriminating grace. That's not smooth, that's hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Is that what the natural man said? But by these good words and fair speeches, they deceive the heart of the simple. So the Lord says they come to you in sheep's clothing. They appear to be Christians. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, sometimes their lifestyle, and even in general what they're saying, appears so Christian that you can't hardly detect them. And sometimes it comes down to this. It's not what they're saying so much as what they're not saying. What they're not saying. What's that man preaching from the pulpit? Well, it's what he's not preaching. It's what he's not preaching. And sometimes it comes down to this. The Lord Jesus says they're soft. They're very delicate. And along this same line, thirdly, of their being soft and delicate. Look back over here at our text again with me. I think it comes down to this also. If we keep this text here in the context, in verse 15 where he said, they come to you in sheep's clothing. I think we could keep it there in the context of verse 13 and 14. And you and I could conclude that the message of these false prophets has no straight gating. I think we could conclude that, couldn't we? The Lord Jesus just said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight is the gate. That means it's compressed. And narrow is the way that leads to life. And then he turns right around and says, beware of false prophets. And I think you and I could conclude that the message of the false prophets do not have a straight gate in it. They made it too easy. The way is not narrow in their message. And the gate is not compressed. They make the kingdom of God easy to get into. And after you get into it, it's fun to be there. There's no turning to God from sin with all the heart. There's no brokenness. There's no denying self and dying to self. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. The Lord Jesus has a compressed gate to get into. But they don't. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the beginning of the way. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and brothers and sisters and houses and land and own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is preached and men press into it. The violent take it by force. It's not easy to get into the kingdom of God. I'll be honest with you. The Lord Jesus was honest with people. He looked around one day and saw a great crowd following him. A large crowd, but you know something? The Master's not after the crowd. He will not compromise to get a crowd or a convert. He turned back to him and he said, you're following me. But he said, I want you to know this. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a house tonight to go to. If you're going to follow me, you may be in the same condition as I am. Therefore, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. That's a compressed way in. That's a narrow way. What's being said today? Getting saved is easy. And being saved is fun. But the Lord began this message here with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, it's a joyful way. I've never known such peace and joy and happiness in all my life. I tell you, I've never known such pressure either, have you? I've never known such heartache either. I've never had a wilt laid across my back like the Lord lays across my back sometimes. Look over here with me in a place or two. Just a couple of places. Let me show you what he said in the Old Testament concerning these false prophets. And I think here's the danger of these false prophets. Why we have to be aware of them. Look in chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. And look here in verse 10. Beware of false prophets because they don't have a straight gate in their preaching. Look here in Jeremiah chapter 6. Look here in verse 10. Look at what he said. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Look in verse 13. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And here's how they dealt with people. Here's what the false prophets did. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know one of the most dangerous things if you've got a disease? You know one of the most dangerous things concerning that disease is to get half healed of it. I got on some medication one time for something that was wrong with me. And I thought, well, I feel pretty good. I'm going to get off of it. And I about died. I almost died. I wasn't healed, but I thought I was. I thought I was. To get healed slightly. I saw a documentary the other night down in Argentina. They have tuberculosis. And they were sending some kind of a penicillin there. But they didn't have enough money to pay for a full dose. So they were taking half doses of penicillin. And they said it would have been so much better if they had taken none. What they did was by taking half a dose, they became immune to the penicillin. It wouldn't work at all. So they finally died half healed. Being healed slightly is dangerous. And you've seen people heal slightly by having people come up front and kneel down in the mourner's branch, having people to come up front and repeat in the sinner's prayer, having them come out of the stadiums and read to them some material. All these things that false prophets do to deceive people, make merchandise of their soul. And then say, peace, peace to them, when there's no peace. That's dangerous, slightly. Look here at another place. Look here in this same book, in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. Chapter 23. You know I don't much like this study. I don't like study on that. I'd be something more joyful, wouldn't you? But you know, this is necessary. Our Lord dealt with this. And here's where we are in our text, so we have to deal with it, don't we? When he finished his message on the Sermon on the Mount, and you and I have found in that message some difficult passages, and we've seen sometimes the difficulty of the Christian life. Sometimes you read and can't get anything out of your Bible. Sometimes you pray and it seems like heaven shut up against you. Sometimes you're bound up in your spirit. You have trials and struggles and you're persecuted. It's difficult being a Christian. We found that out in the Sermon on the Mount. And now we're not about to come here and skip over these false prophets that are out to deceive us and teach us contrary to what the Master has taught us himself. And to heal a man slightly, been better off to left him alone. Left him alone. Look at what he said in Jeremiah chapter 23. Look here in verse 13. Jeremiah 23:13. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, false prophets. They prophesy in Baal, the devil, and cause my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem that horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and as the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Look at verse 16. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth the word of the Lord. For they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. Well, that's deceptive, eh? Here's a man dead in his sins, the enemies of God. Both hands, he's got two spears in both hands, fighting against the God of heaven. And here's a man telling him, you've got peace. You've got peace. God loves you. You've got peace. I tell you what, I'm hesitant to tell a lost man God loves him, Larry. If God loves him, let God tell him that. Let him become so anxious, he'll go and find out if God loves him or not. I ain't going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him, bud, you got your foot on the neck of God's dear son. You're dead in your trespass and sins. You're the enemy of God. You better humble yourself and cast your weapons in the dirt. God's bringing you judgment before himself. You better do it. There ain't no peace to a man dead in his trespass and sins. But that's what they were saying. That's what they're saying. You got peace with God, even though they were still living against God in their sin. And they say, everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil's going to come on you. See how soft they are. No straight gate. No straight gate in their preaching. Okay, turn back over to our text. Look what he said in the last portion of verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. But inwardly, they appear to be sheep. They're in sheep's clothes. Appear to be Christian. They're soft and delicate and seem to be so tender. But inwardly, they are hungry, devouring wolves. Two things I want to say about this, and then we'll close. There's something that's essential if a man's going to be a good preacher. If a man's going to be a good preacher, if he's going to be a good teacher, he first and foremost must be made a good man. Now, brothers and sisters, this is important. This is important. So that man's had a lot of good things to say, but what kind of man is he? What kind of man is he? He seems to be living a good life. Well, that's important. That's essential. But what kind of man is he really? You remember the Lord told us about the seed that was sown upon the different kinds of soil. And remember, the only one that brought forth any fruit was that seed that was received in a good and honest heart. Remember that? A man, before he starts preaching, he better be born again. There's one thing, if anything's more important than being a good preacher, it's being a good man. It's having a good heart. You take a man that hasn't got a good heart, he hasn't got an honest heart, he hasn't got a new heart, he may say a lot of good things, and he may look like a sheep. But I'm telling you, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he's going to err somewhere. And if you're not careful, he's going to deceive you when he does it. He is. Outwardly, that's fine and good. That's fine and good. That's necessary. A man that's called to the ministry, his life must be in order. But I tell you what, first and foremost, the Lord Jesus said, cleanse the inside of the cup. And that was their problem. That's the problem of every false prophet. It's inside. Inwardly. He's a wicked man. An unbeliever. The Lord Jesus said, "Oh, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." We must have a new nature. We must be born again. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Master is saying. Look in verse 16. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" We know better than that, don't we? Why don't we go out here on a thorn tree and gather grapes? That's contrary to its nature. I don't go down to my apple trees and expect to get peaches off of it. That's contrary to its nature. Don't expect a man who has a wicked heart to preach to you the truth. That's contrary to his nature. He may practice and he may learn some good things to say, but if he's not born again, you better not trust him. And that's what the Master is saying here. The husbandman that laboreth, the man who preaches, the man who pastors others, he must first be partaker of the fruit himself. If we want someone to preach to us the truth of the new birth, we better listen to that man who's experienced it himself. If we want someone to tell us of the sweetness of the grace of the Lord Jesus, we better get somebody who's tasted of it himself. If we want to hear a man who points us to the fountain open for our sin and uncleanness, we better find a man who's been washed himself. If we want somebody to preach to us about how to get to heaven, we better find a man who's going there himself. Now there's what the Lord Jesus is telling us. They appear in sheep's clothes. They appear to be Christian, but their problem is within. It's within. And secondly and lastly is this. You and I work to find out what's within. Seek to find out what's within. Seek to find out what a man's experience is. Is he regenerated or unregenerated? Seek to know if he knows the Lord. Clarence used to have a little plaque on his door, on the right hand side of his door. Every time I went to see him, I'd read, "Do you know the Lord?" That's a good question. Ask a man that. Do you know the Lord? Have you been broken? Who broke you? Have you been humbled? Do you know the Lord? Has He revealed Himself to you? If I got mad when you asked me such questions, I don't need to be your pastor. Beware of false prophets. I was with a man one time, a preacher. He and I and this lady was saying, I never have got over this. This has been a number of years ago. Now to this day, I'm still amazed at this. We were sitting there talking. And she asked him to tell her how the Lord saved him. And I just detected that she was sort of anxious about her own condition and she just wanted some instructions from him. So she asked him to tell her how the Lord saved him. And he proceeded probably with 10-minute speech telling us how the Lord had called him to preach. And I sat there amazed at that man. That he did not know a thing about what it was to be brought and humbled and made poor in spirit before the Lord. What it was meant to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was amazed. And yet he seems to be a Christian. He seems to be a preacher. But I have no confidence because I cannot believe that he's born of God. Beware, brothers and sisters, of false prophets. They'll do us no good. They'll deceive us in the end. May God grant us grace to understand the message. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your word. Lord, sometimes it's so difficult to understand these things. But we thank you for them. To think that we'd deceive our fellow man, be deceived of our fellow man. But Lord, you've warned us of it in your word. And We know the great adversary is behind it all. And we pray, our Father, for light. We pray for understanding. We pray for grace. Lord, without You being our light and our wisdom, we'd soon be deceived. We'd deceive ourselves. Our Father, we thank You for this time that You've granted us together. And we thank You for the day. You've let us see the blue sky. You've let us breathe Your air. You've given us a measure of joy and confidence in our heart, a great degree of health. We thank You for this. Thank You for our little children. Thank You for our babies. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for hope. Thank You for heaven. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for the world to come, that we'll see Your face and be like You, be free from our bodies of death. Oh, our Lord, we put our confidence in You, our hope in You. We know You'll never fail. We leave all in Your care. We gather here now to remember Your death. Give us thoughts of You in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Brother Glenn, would you come? We're going to partake again.